It was at a time right after his awakening that the Buddha surveyed the world with the eye of a Buddha. And what did the world look like from that perspective? He saw that beings were on fire with the fires of passion, aversion, delusion. Running around, setting fire to everything they touched. And he felt compassion. Compassion, goodwill, based on Sungwega. Seeing that beings were already suffering from birth, aging, illness, and death, and if that weren't enough, all the added sufferings that come from greed, aversion, and delusion. So when we think about the Buddha's goodwill for the world, his compassion for the world, we have to remember it's tinged with Sungwega. Because after all, even the Buddha could teach only those who were willing to be taught. We have that phrase in the praise of the Buddha, unexcelled teachers are those fit to teach. It's qualified. Not everybody is going to listen to the Buddha. Not everybody, even if they listen to the Buddha, will be able to practice. And not everybody who practices is going to go all the way in this lifetime. And so to make sure that goodwill and compassion don't degenerate into sadness, we also have to practice equanimity. Realizing that beings live in line with their karma, and there's some beings that we can help, and a lot that we can't. And so we focus on what we can do. Of course, the primary being we have to worry about is ourselves. We're not at the point where the Buddha was. He was safe. He was fireproof at that point. We're still flammable. We look at other people on fire with greed, aversion, and delusion, we have to ask ourselves, are we beyond that yet? What are we still attached to? Wherever we're attached, we're flammable. Think of the way they thought of fire back in those days. Fire held on. It clung. Wherever there's clinging, there's going to be heat. There's going to be flames. So look at where you're clinging. Try to get some perspective on your clingings. Think about the case of King Gauravya. In the Pali Canon, they often highlight the drawbacks of lay life by focusing on the people who have possibly the best position, the kings. Yet even they suffer. In the case of King Gauravya, he was suffering from things that were inconstant, stressful, not self. Inconstancy relates to aging. Stress, of course, relates to illness. Death relates to not self. Whatever you have now, you're going to let go. So here the king was suffering from these things. There's no one who could take his pain and share it out, to make it so that he could feel less pain. You know, and the last reflection, when he was asked, if you were offered the chance of conquering another kingdom, would you take it? And he said, yes, of course. Even another one on the other side of the ocean. Here he was, 80 years old, already suffering, already ready to die. And yet his thirst for power, his thirst for wealth was unquenchable. So here we are, beings on fire, with this unquenched thirst, unquenchable thirst. Even if it rained gold coins, the Buddha said, we wouldn't have enough for our sensual desires. So we've got to develop a sense of sungwega toward our desires and focus our desires in a different direction. In the beginning, that's why we focus on concentration instead of focusing on the desires of sensuality. We focus on desires related to form, inhabiting the form of the body. It lifts the mind. You're looking for happiness in a place where you don't have to fight anybody else off. No one's going to come in and try to push you out of the way to watch your breath. It's yours. And it does have a great potential. As the Buddha said, we have the potential for pleasure in the body. We have the potential for rapture. If you pay appropriate attention to what's going on, looking for those potentials, making the most of them, you find that you can provide yourself with a sense of intense well-being right here. In the beginning of the meditation, that's the duty of directed thought and evaluation. And John Lee talks about how directed thought and evaluation, particularly the evaluation, has to do with looking at the way you're breathing, adjusting it so it's just right for the mind, just right for the body. Then when you get a sense of well-being, you work it through the body. Some people have asked, where did you get that idea? It doesn't sound like there's anything there in the canon, but it is in the canon. The image of the bathman or the bathman's apprentice, working the moisture through that ball of bath powder to make a bath dough. Of the various images and similes for a jhana, that's the only one that has a conscious agent doing something. That's what evaluation does. Once you've given rise to a sense of well-being, you've got to work it through the body, because you're going to find there are a lot of resistances, tight places, tense places, places where the breath energy doesn't flow easily. And you have to figure out how to relax them, how to work through them, how to work around them if necessary. It may sound like a lot of thinking, but you're preparing your place to settle down. It's like moving into a house that's been neglected for a long time. And you find a corner where you can straighten things out, smooth things out, make a comfortable bed for yourself. If you don't do that, there's no way you're going to find any comfort in that house. So here it is, the house of your body. Learn how to work through the energies. And you get a good place to settle down. Once you've settled down, then the image for the next stage of concentration is of a spring at the base of a lake, spreading its cool water throughout the lake. The spring doesn't have to think about where the water's going to go. It just keeps producing cool water, and the water circulates, permeates the lake. That's because you've already opened all the energy channels. Everything is connected. The sense of rapture, the sense of pleasure, they can spread around. As the Buddha said, it's only when you can provide yourself with a sense of well-being like this, inside, that you can begin to trust yourself more around sensual pleasures, sensual temptations. If you don't have this pleasure inside, you're going to go back to the old sensual objects that you wanted before, or worse. But with this, you have an alternative. You have something better to feed on, something better to hold on to. You can begin to trust yourself more. So work at this, however much work it requires, to be able to settle down and to stay settled down. It's all to the good. We've turned the flame down. We now have a steady flame, a flame you can read by, a flame that illuminates rather than simply giving off heat. Those fires that the Buddha saw. If we don't have this place to settle down, we're running around with those fires in our heads as well. And we can see around us what happens when people let themselves get their fire stoked. We have to have a lot of compassion, a lot of sangwega that gives rise to goodwill. But we also have to have goodwill for ourselves. That means realizing that we need to get our act in order. So at the very least, we're not running around with our heads on fire like other people. And it's only when you can put fires out, or at least adjust them so they become steady, cool flames inside, that you can be a good example to others. And it's only through being a good example that you can make lasting change. At the very least, lasting change inside. And perhaps some of it will spread around as well.